Every person, every story is absolutely vital to God. But sometimes, you'll have to admit it, and you've probably seen it, our kids look like us and become like us. How many say amen? How many say, oh no? There you go. You get grace in the presence of the Lord. But that's our goal. Our goal is to look just like our dad. To be just like him. The scripture tells us he conforms us to the image of his son. When we give our life to Jesus, and again, if you haven't done that, this is your day. It's no accident you're here if you've not surrendered to Jesus. He loves you so much. But when you give your life to him, the Holy Spirit begins a work inside your life and mine, and it begins a transformation process. The Bible tells us Jesus was a carpenter. Now, that word carpenter in the Greek is much more than just worker with wood. It's an artisan, worked with metal, worked with stone, worked with wood. But he was a fashioner, a molder, a shaper. And that's what he does in our lives. And he works with us to bring us, as we've spoken before, into alignment with him. How many want to be in right alignment with God? And when you're in right alignment with God, there's that fashioning, that molding, that conforming to his image, being conformed to the image of Jesus. Romans tells us in 8 verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And just like Pastor Sherry shared this morning, if you read a translation that you don't quite get, grab another one. Now, we build our doctrine and truth from King James, New American Standard. New King James is excellent. I primarily use the New King James because it updates the text a bit for our understanding. But it's good to find the other paraphrases for an illumination or a shadow of meaning or a shade of meaning that helps you understand it. But if it's wrong, we don't build our doctrine on the paraphrases. We go to the primary text. But take a look at Romans 8:29 out of the Message. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. Now, for how many is that just extremely clear? You look at Jesus and you see what we're supposed to be. And when they look at us, ever shaped, being transformed, we should ever increasingly be looking like Jesus. Isn't that your heart's desire this morning? He shapes, he molds us, our hearts, our attitudes, and our thinking, and our purpose, and the Holy Spirit writes his word in our hearts and in our minds. And when he does so, my question is then, when he begins his process of transforming, shaping, how should we respond? How should we respond to him? Lynn, if you'll come on over, I'm going to have Lynn and Donna share and read some scripture this morning, rather, for us. And Jesus, our first point, is works with, please boom it out with me, what kind of hearts? Responsive. Jesus works with responsive hearts. Lynn, thank you.
Mark 9:36-37. Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me.
Amen. What's the context? Anybody remember the context here, Mark 9, just before this verse? The context is the disciples were walking along a road with Jesus, and they were beefing it out. They were having an argument. And the argument, to their shame, went something like this. I'm better than you are. No, I'm better than you are. Well, who's going to be the greatest here? I'm going to be the greatest. Sounds like Muhammad Ali, right? I am the greatest. And they were duking it out. And Jesus turns to them and says, hey, guys, don't you love Jesus? He just knows what's going on. He says, what were you guys talking about on the way? They didn't want to say. They didn't want to talk about it. But the context was an argument about who's going to be the greatest. And verse 35, going back one from what Lynn read, and thank you, Lynn, great job. And he sat down, called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone desires to be first, please read it with me, he shall be last of all and servant of all. So it's not the hot shot that wins. It's not the one that's noticed the most. It's the one who just comes down. Just comes down. I'm not talking wimp out Christian. That's not what I mean. But the one who comes down and says, it doesn't matter if I'm ever recognized. It doesn't matter. What matters is being with Jesus and serving him and loving him and helping and loving his people. That's what matters. It's not thinking about when I might be seen well enough as a servant to become number one. It's not even thinking about that. Then Jesus did show and tell with a little child. Now you have to recall in the scriptures or in the day of the scripture that this was written, in the Greek culture and in the Roman culture, children had absolutely no rights. Many times they were put into the hands of slaves to care for. The men had the rights. It was a patriarchal society. The women were second. The wives were second. And then third down the list were the children. Now, in the Hebrews' lifestyle, they didn't consider the kids old enough to follow the law until they were age 13. Now, like with the women, in Jesus, he elevated the place of women. That's why people that say Christianity just puts women down, that's a wrong interpretation by the men folk in that congregation or in that particular persuasion. Because in the Bible, it's not so. Jesus elevates the place of women, and he says, you are co-inhabitors, co-inheritors of the grace of life. Women, you are full of power and life in the Lord. Let me hear a rousing amen.
Amen.
And we receive you and welcome you and are glad that you're here. And men, you get to receive them. And most men that I know of say, yeah, I'm kind of a dope without them. I need my wife. She helps me see the way to go and helps me be more sensitive to the Lord and all of those kinds of things. But we are co-inheritors of the grace of life. There's neither male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. Yes, I understand different responsibilities, different issues that God might call us to, but there is a powerful place. And Jesus did something powerful for children. They didn't even want to recognize children. Sure, they could be loved, but they had no place. And Jesus comes along and he says, you're going to recognize them. You're going to see them as valuable creations. They are image bearers to be loved, to be raised, to be shaped, and to be cared for. Now, you've heard the word bar mitzvah. The word is also bat mitzvah. Bar mitzvah is the son of the commandment. Bat mitzvah is the daughter of the commandment. And in Aramaic, it means that phrase. The mitzvah is the word commandment. So bar, son, or bat, daughter. And at age 13, they have an experience called the bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. But it's especially primarily the person that's the bar or bat mitzvah. So the religious ceremony is also that name. But it's a powerful time. But Jesus recognized the children. Something really incredible took place. And we want to welcome like that. Would you come, please, Donna? Often we don't get it the first time around. How many in school ever just picked up on every teaching you ever had first time? No problem. You aced the test? No problem. Okay, did sometimes your teacher have to repeat? Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Oh, over and over again. Yeah. It's called mastery learning. We learn it until we get it, and then we take the test to prove we can pass. But Jesus is going to repeat.
Some people brought their children to Jesus so that he could bless them by placing his hands on them. But his disciples told the people, to stop bothering him. When Jesus saw this, he became angry and said, "Let the children come to me. Don't try to stop them. People who are like these little children belong to the kingdom of God. I promise you that you cannot get into God's kingdom unless you accept it the way a child does." Then Jesus took the children in his arms and blessed them by placing his hands on them.
Thank you. Powerful. From Pastor Sherry's opening, let's go back to this scripture here. Psalm 36 is how eager, please read this with me, how eager we are to run under your wings, to eat our fill at the banquet you spread. Now, I've got several different purposes that I want to accomplish with the message this morning. This is going to be a part one and a part two, even within the same message. But I'm after something this morning, and I'm going to keep it really simple. I've heard a lot of things about coming to the Lord as a child. People have taught about being teachable and children being gullible and all of those kinds of things that we have normally heard. But how do kids respond? Just like that. Eager. Kids that I know of that haven't had it squashed out of them are full of eager to get to the party. You mention a party to a little one, unless they're a complete introvert and don't like people. If you welcome them, they want to come be with you. They want to come go with you. And we heard yesterday about the children of Bill and Jeannie. She wanted to go be with her mom all the time. And were you like that with your parents? Yeah, I remember an embarrassing time when my dad said he was going to go somewhere. And I said, "I want to come." And he goes, no, that was my phrase for going to the bathroom. You don't need to come with me to go there. But I wanted to... Yes, thank you, Lord. Okay, he's saying get on with it. All right, I will. But how do kids respond? They want to soak up love. They want to respond to the Lord. And when kids are loved, they have responsive hearts. How about you when you were a kid? Were you a happy kid?
Yep.
Happy to respond? How many liked parties? Okay, a whole bunch of you didn't like parties. How many like to play? You like play time. How many like recess time, your favorite time at school? Yeah, how many like going to lunch, your next favorite time at school? How many like going home, your third favorite time at school? All right, how many, to give you all room, how many were the ones who liked studying and going to class more than anything else? There's about three or four of you in the room. Anyway, there was an eagerness. There was something that is causing and leads to a responsive heart. Jesus wanted to bless the children. And he said, "I want you to welcome them like that." But I think he's teaching us something far bigger than just the little children. Because Jesus wants to bless and welcome those who are eager to be with him. Those who look at each other and say, "Come." It's like the Old Testament scripture. We sing a song about it. "Come, let us go to the house of the Lord. He'll teach us of his ways. He'll write his word on our heart and mind. Come on, there's something exciting he's going to do at church. I'm eager to go meet with Jesus. I want to see him. I want to hear him. I want to know him because he's alive and well. He's got something to say today." How many believe the Lord had something to say to you today? I'm eager. And he says, welcome like that. Number two, come like that. Come like that. It's easy to look down on kids. After all, they're not in our big frame of reference. They don't have the same status. They're not always on the same level. And what was happening with the disciples? Remember, anybody remember W.C. Fields? In the old movies? "Get away from me, kid, you bother me." Remember that? Anybody? Yeah. "Get away from me, kid, you bother me." It's the opposite of what God's saying. The disciples were saying, "Get away from me, kids, you bother me. Get your kids away. We're building the kingdom of God here." And what does the Bible say? The Bible says they rebuked those that brought the kids. And the scripture tells us Jesus turned right around and rebuked them. He rebuked them for their attitude of getting rid of hungry people. And Jesus is trying to show us something, not just all about the kids, but not just for the kids. He's trying to say, "I am here for people who are hungry, who are responsive, who are eager. And that attitude leads to being teachable and receptive. Let me ask you a question this morning. I'm diving in just a little quickly. How's your eager meter peaking this morning? Are you hungry for the Lord? Now, look, there's other things about kids that we can learn. What was he doing? I mean, you know, really, when you think about children, they were totally dependent. They were dependent on their parents and on somebody to care for them, to give them food and nourishment, shelter, life, clothing, and people to protect them and to love them. They were powerless to help themselves. And when we get ourselves in trouble is not when we recognize we're strong and confident in the Lord, but when we think we can do it all ourselves. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. I don't need the church. I can come, go when I want, do what I want. I gotta be me. And that's when we get in trouble. Because we get out there on our own and all of a sudden something happens or we do something. And we go, I'm out here alone and I messed up. Now, without a show of hands, can I see a room full of people just like me? Who have upon occasion in your life messed up? You're better off. You're better together in the family of God, coming in eager to His presence, learning, growing, responding. So I ask you again, how's your eager meter? You see, the most difficult people to reach, we've been in ministry for 47 years, the most difficult people to reach in all those years of ministry are people who absolutely have no hunger and don't want any help. If I can't do anything for you. But if somebody says, you know, I think there's something more that I have room to grow in, I can help that person. We can help one another. And I'm not talking about being a wimpy Christian. I want you as strong as you can be in the Lord, and we can encourage each other and grow and be strong, be trained, get the Word of God in, so when the devil comes around, the Word of God comes out, and he flees in the name of the Lord. We are here to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's how Jesus told us to pray. We strengthen one another. We do spiritual warfare. We see people delivered as God answers prayer, but we also recognize, I can't do this by myself. Christianity is a team sport, if you will. It's a family, and God says, come on into the family and strengthen each other. You don't need to wimp out, but you need to rise up and be part of the family of God. Align with Jesus. Let me say it again. How's your eager meter reading? Power comes. If you'll go back to that. Yeah, thanks, Pat. Power comes. We peg that baby when we are hungry and eager in heart to respond to the Lord. Now we bless like that. We welcome like that. We come like that. We bless like that. Jesus taught his disciples again to say the obvious, what we're saying here, to welcome children. Whole new approach. A whole new approach to their society. He equated the attitude of receiving children with a willingness to receive him. He blessed the kids. They weren't throwaway. In many places of the world at that time, you read your history books and your commentaries, many places in the world at that time, literally up to 50% of the children died. It was a 50% mortality rate. And there were other places where the parents didn't have the money to take care of their kids, and they literally walked away from them. They just abandoned them. And look at what we're doing in our country to our children. We don't just abandon them. It'd be great if we'd give them up for adoption. There are parents who want to be cared for or want to have children to care for. But too often they're slaughtered on an altar. God has a purpose for their lives and yours and mine. And He wants us to bless. No throwaway lives. To Jesus, there are no throwaway lives. Lives. Come on, say that with me. To Jesus, there are no throwaway lives. No matter who you are, what you've been through, you're here this morning, and Jesus never wanted you thrown away. Can you say thank God? Thank God. Never wanted to throw me away. So what do we do about all this? We're going to move into part two here any moment. But we're in the business of blessing others. Take that eagerness for him and give it away. Again, I've heard a lot of things about becoming like children, teachable, gullible. But I think what God's really after, or at least one of the main things, is being eager. How many enjoy having eager kids? Okay, how many didn't always enjoy eager kids? Come on, I want to do it. Come on, can we go? You promised, can we do it? Can we? I'd rather have my child be eager. And that's what God wants us to do. But listen to the scriptures as we now take that eagerness and give it away. Then the righteous will answer him, Matthew 25, 37 and 40, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Deuteronomy 10, 18, he execute justice for the orphan and the widow, shows his love for the alien by giving them food and clothing. Psalm 10, verse 14, but you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. And Matthew 18, verse 5, whoever receives a child in my name receives me. So Jesus saves broken people and broken lives, and we're his hands extended to reach out to broken people and broken lives. Image bearers marred and scarred by life, by sin, by choices, and by what's happened to them. Now, Grace Christian Center is a church. If you're a guest and visitor with us, Grace Christian Center supports to the tune of thousands of dollars every year missions around the world. And we are involved in many different elements of different kinds of ministries. You go out to the foyer out here by the library of books and CDs. You'll find some notebooks in the back about some of the missions we support and some of the apostolic ministries that are working in foreign fields, etc. And we are part of what's called the Fellowship Network. And the Fellowship Network was started by Gordon Lindsay way back a long time ago. And it's an international ministry and leaders and pastoral organization. And it's an interdenominational, spirit-filled move where like-minded people got together who recognized that the Holy Spirit is alive and real, and they bound themselves together in fellowship to do just what we were talking about this morning, be a family and encourage each other. I have the blessing and the honor of being the vice president of the Northwest region, and the Northwest region is six states here in the United States. But one of the main things we do is linked together in faith with Prison Fellowship International. Who's ever heard of Chuck Colson? How many remember Chuck Colson from Watergate? Well, Chuck Colson from Watergate went to prison, got radically saved, and when he came out of prison, he was one of the most brilliant theologians, one of the most brilliant organizers and administrators of a ministry that became known as Prison Fellowship International. Fantastic. Absolutely incredible ministry to prisoners, leading them to the Lord, getting them foundations in the scriptures, helping to change their lives and give them a new start. And the recidivism, the active rate of return to prison from the people from that ministry is extremely low compared to lots of others and most nearly every other organization that goes in to minister to the prisons. But one of the things that became a burden to Steve Holder, the president of the Fellowship International, was ministering to the least of these, which is to the children of the prisoners. Because what happens is there are a lot of places around the world in third world countries where parents are arrested and put in jail and their children are literally abandoned. There's more than 12.4 to 14 million people outside of the U.S., children who have lost one or both parents to imprisonment. About 1 million children live in horrible circumstances. They're forgotten, they're hungry, and they're alone. So as a congregation, and as the Fellowship Network, we've joined with Prison Fellowship International to begin to sponsor some of these children. It only costs $35 a month. And when you sponsor them, you help to care for their health needs, their education needs, their clothing, and their food. You help to make sure there's safety and protection and guidance. You and I can't always go to the foreign mission fields. How many have ever taken a foreign mission trip? All right, many of you. But we can't always do it. If you can't, this is a way that you can support and go. It's so simple to do. At the back of the room, Daria is our coordinator. Daria, raise your hand. She's our coordinator for this, which is the sponsorship of children. And we have packets back there of kids. There's five. We'll get more if we need to. And the first time we talked about this was over a year and a half ago. And I think we had 13 kids that were sponsored. And we will get more than the five we have. Some might want a second. Or if you're new or haven't been with us before, we urge you to consider this as a precious and valuable ministry. Your tithes go to the local storehouse. This is an offering over and above. But with this offering, you can change a life forever. This is the kind of ministry, as you consider it, that doesn't cost, but it pays. So the children of prisoners, and Daria will be at the back table with those. She can talk to you about it. But above all, as we've talked this morning, there's something that is a consistent theme and purpose on the heart of God as we see this all stream through. Eager hearts, responsive hearts, needy hearts. Those are the people that Jesus gathers to himself. And those are people that we can in turn minister to as well. Can someone say amen with me this morning? God is so good. We've heard the heart of Jesus prophetically and in song this morning. Beautiful song, Paula. We've heard the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. We've heard about being eager and hungry. How can we bless like him? We've got a couple of videos to show you.